Welcome to the Future Lab of the Bavaria Natural History Museum. My name is Samara Rubinstein, and my colleagues and I developed this exhibition. I'm happy to guide you through some of the highlights now. What is the Future Lab? This is a space where we test themes and formats for the new, large museum that will be built right next door. At the information wall along the railing, you can learn more about the museum project. Here in the Future Lab, we collected feedback from visitors throughout the past year. One suggestion was to offer insights into the exhibition through curator-led audio tours, easily accessible on your mobile phone. We were happy to take up this idea, and now you can experience the result. The fact that we are planning a new museum also inspired the theme of this exhibition. Nature Designs is dedicated to the built structures and construction strategies of different living organisms. From spider webs made of extremely fine yet strong silk threads, to human-produced textiles and their raw materials, all the way to the largest living structures on the planet, coral reefs. Let us begin our walk through the exhibition. We will start at the staircase. There, in a black display case, you can see a living orb weaver spider from Madagascar, along with its web, a sophisticated construction that can reach up to 1 meter in diameter in the wild in order to catch large tropical insects. Spider silk has quite extraordinary properties. It's stretchy, water repellent, and extremely tear resistant. These traits are of interest to scientists, engineers, and researchers in many other fields. A few steps further, in another display case, you will see a large spool of synthetically produced spider silk. Spiders cannot be domesticated, so humans must obtain their silk in other ways. Worldwide, including here in Bavaria, research is underway to find ways of producing synthetic spider silk for various applications. For instance, to use in the textile industry or as filtration technology and in medicine. Spider silk is a so-called biomaterial that is not rejected by the human body. Therefore, further possible applications include the coating for implants or producing surgical threads. Now if you turn around, you will see herbarium specimens of plants used for textile production. Eucalyptus, flax, hemp, and around the corner, cotton. These specimens are used to identify botanical species and to document the diversity of past or extinct plant species. The Munich Botanical State Collection houses millions of such specimens. The history of many plant species is closely linked to their use as raw materials for textiles. One could also say that the success of certain species, in terms of its ability to reproduce its genes, is tied to human economic systems. At the same time, the process of domestication often reduces genetic diversity of these crop plants. If you now turn back toward the wall, you will see a particularly interesting example of textile production from the animal kingdom, specifically from the silkworm. Silk is obtained from the cocoons of silkworms. Its wild ancestor was domesticated several thousand years ago in China. Both the domesticated and wild species can be seen in the vitrine along the wall. After millennia of domestication, silkworm caterpillars feed exclusively on the leaves of the white mulberry tree and can no longer survive without human care. In Bavaria, attempts were made over more than three centuries to produce mulberry silk. Mulberry plantations were established at many sites, including here in Nymphenburg and in Munich's Hofgarten. To the right of the display case, you see historical illustrations and objects documenting the strong interest in breeding silkworms, cultivating their food plants, and establishing a silk industry in this region. produced on mulberry silk, is an illustration of the silkworm life cycle from a textbook published in Munich in 1826. Also of particular interest is the wooden book created by the Ebersburg monk Candid Huber, displayed in the next case. Around 1800, so-called xylotexts were produced to document individual tree species. Each consisted of a wooden box made from the tree itself, containing collected specimens of twigs, dried leaves, and fruits, and a book spine on the outer side, which you cannot see here, but which was covered with bark and labeled. What you do see here is the wooden book made by Candid Huber for the non-native white mulberry tree, which includes a cocoon and silk from the silkworm. A caterpillar was also included, but it has not survived. Ultimately, however, the large-scale production of Bavarian silk was unsuccessful. If you move toward the window, you will discover a traditionally crafted yet spectacular garment that points to a possible future of textile production. The material from which this pair of lederhosen was made grew in the factories of a California startup company from fungi. The material was crafted by Bavarian leathersmiths who were open to combining traditional sewing and processing techniques with an innovative biotechnological material. This garment is one example of how people are trying to develop production methods that make use of natural processes instead of exploiting limited resources. This is because textile manufacturing and our excessive consumption have enormous impacts on ecosystems and global waste production. You may wish to pause briefly and work with the cotton and wool strips at the weaving station behind you. You can take inspiration from the skills of the weaver birds and pendulum tits, which you can observe in the video above as they skillfully build their nests. When building nests, birds twist, felt, and weave materials such as twigs, lichens, mosses, seeds, or spider silk together with great skill. Increasingly, they also use plastic waste that they find in their surroundings. This is a major problem because synthetic material causes, among other things, waterlogging in nests. They are no longer breathable and can overheat. The artist, Bjorn Braun, whose interspecies collaborative works you can see in a case opposite the weaving station, used the experimental spirit of the birds to create nest sculptures. He provided zebra finches with materials that they willingly incorporated into their nests. Sometimes such artworks also arise unintentionally. A few steps further along the wall, you'll see such an example. A red chair that was chosen by wasps as the foundation for a massive nest. This was discovered in an attic, and fortunately the owners contacted our museum. Today, it's an exhibit that fascinates us because it clearly illustrates the collision of human culture and animal habitats. Even when we appreciate plants and animals, we may react drastically differently when other species encroach upon our spaces that feel comfortable to us. How would you react if you encountered such a nest in your attic? One important note, wasps are a protected species, and their nests must not be removed. Please seek advice from specialists on how to deal with these nests appropriately. Why these nests are so worthy of our protection becomes clear when we look inside. Turn around and examine what happens within a hornet's nest. Behind these orange circles, which you can slide aside, you see developmental stages from egg to larva and a newly emerged builder. Hornets seal these cells with silky caps, which you can also observe here. Let's continue by turning right toward the wall. Now you're facing the area dedicated to human buildings. Here you see a metal book. illustrating how the new museum will be integrated into the nature culture quarter of Nymphenburg and how it can contribute to biodiversity in the area. By designing architecture and outdoor spaces that provide high-quality habitats for humans as well as other species. In planning the museum, we used a method of animal-aided design. For 12 target species, such as the European robin, smooth newt, or different insect species, small but crucial measures were incorporated, including dust baths, habitat niches, and nectar sources. In addition, a so-called biobotanic installation will be created outdoors. It's inspired by the living root bridges of the Khasi people in northeast India. As shown in the video next to the metal book, they use the growth of naturally occurring rubber trees to form living bridges. Biobotanic is a research field led by Professor Ferdinand Ludwig at the Technical University of Munich. Together with his colleagues, he's developing a biobotanic installation for the new museum. This structure will allow visitors to ascend into the tree canopy and experience the world from that perspective. A model of this structure, along with a time-lapse video showing the growth process, is on display at the window. Alongside textile production, the construction industry is among the most environmentally damaging sectors. The slideshow near the door represents approaches to more ecologically sustainable building. Sustainability was also a priority in realizing this exhibition. If you take a look around and observe the exhibition architecture and design, the modular aluminum frame system is reusable and adaptable to different spatial settings. In addition to wooden panels that can be reused in our workshops, we employed panels made from recycled textile fibers and straw. The green and white curtains are made of recycled monomaterial polyester, which, unlike blended fabrics, can generally be recycled more effectively. We have now seen examples of how different actors, from spiders to birds and humans, shape nature and habitats through their constructions. Undoubtedly, human building and production processes today have far-reaching impacts on biological, geological, and atmospheric processes on Earth. But humans were not always part of history. For instance, the Alps, formed over millions of years through geological processes, which gradually pushed fossilized remains of ancient marine environments up into mountain ranges. That's why we repeatedly find fossils of marine animals in this mountain region. You can see some examples of fossil sponges and corals in the display case opposite the slideshow. These were found in Baden-Württemberg, Bavaria, and Upper Austria. Traces of ancient life can also be found in our building materials. For example, in limestone, such as this marble, the stone slab mounted near the fossils. You may wish to take a few minutes to search for fossil traces yourself in this piece. If you now move back toward the staircase in the center of the room, you leap forward 150 million years to the reefs of the present. Today's coral reefs are the largest geobiological structures formed by organisms on Earth. You have surely heard of the Great Barrier Reef, so large that it can be seen from space. It extends over a distance comparable to the stretch from the southernmost point of Italy to Brussels in Belgium. Reefs are among the most diverse ecosystems in the world. Countless fish and invertebrates live within them. They are also of immense importance to humans as coastal protection, as a source of food and income, as carbon storage, and for medical research. In the central display case, you will see coral skeletons that come from, among other sources, the research aquariums of the Bavarian State Collection for Paleontology and Geology in Munich. You can learn more about the research conducted there and about where you can visit a one-of-a-kind coral reef aquarium in Bavaria in the video with Professor Gert Voorheide. Finally, I invite you to look through these orange portals and observe the small depressions in the coral skeletons. Each of these once housed a tiny polyp, a living creature that looks a bit like a sea anemone. Colonies of these polyps form corals, and over time, vast reefs emerge. That concludes my guided tour. Please enjoy as you continue to explore the exhibition Nature Designs on your own.